my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Good morning, people. Welcome to my channel. Now that we have finished basically all the rising signs and Artha Lords, I'll do some case studies for you from D1 and D10, from sample charts of Gen Z, just to get a grounding on the knowledge and what we are speaking of. But first off, if you're not yet subscribed, please consider subscribing to the channel if you find content useful. This is a self-study channel kind of an approach, so that you have this content on the go wherever you want and however you are interested in astrology is. So the rules of this case study being, D1, we will take the Artha Lords, 2nd house, 6th and 10th house. We shall also consider D10, the Artha Lords, 2nd, 6th and 10th house. And we shall most importantly consider the Artha Lords in D1, which is going into D10 placement and career possibilities there. Just a side note there, just remember, always, that career is just something you do in the world, your presence in the external world. Capricorn, the 10th house, traditionally speaking, it's to do with your talents, abilities, and what you can do, especially in this day and age of AI and taking people's jobs and all that stuff. This is the reason for me making these things, so that you have an idea what else you can do in your career. I have been asked this question by people who come to me for readings also. Arun, what else can we do? Now that we have lost our jobs, what can we do? What other things can I possibly do? So this will discuss more along the lines of possibility rather than a deterministic approach of astrology saying you will do such and such. When the situation externally is changing, we got to re-examine how we view astrology itself, isn't it? Old rules do not apply in the modern world. So we shall take modern careers and professional possibilities. We'll deal in possibilities. Again, we are taking Gen Z random charts from 1998 year onwards as the case studies. Now let's do the career case study for a Gen Z girl called Urvashi. This one will be a Scorpio ascendant. Last time we did Libra ascendant. Let's begin from the top. Her Vara is Friday. People born on Fridays have natural Venusian qualities. Urvashi is naturally graceful, artistic, relationship oriented, everything like Venus. As Venus is the ruling planet, appreciation for beauty is there, harmony is there, comfort is there. See, Venus typically represents Taurus and Libra, isn't it? Even in the main chart. Therefore, it is all about resources, wealth, and Libra, it's about other people and the highest exaltation of Capricorn, you might say. It's 10th from the 10th house. So, it's all about these aspects of Venus. She has a refined sense of taste and charm that draws people towards her. She often thrives in environments where aesthetics, emotional intelligence, and diplomacy matter. This is the first thing she should take care of, even in her profession, because this is her inherent nature. It has to do more with Venus-like qualities of aesthetics, appreciation of harmony and beauty. Her Tithi, and if you don't know what all this Tithi and Karana and Yoga and all this mean, go to the Panchanga playlist, you'll get everything there. Her Tithi is Shukla Dwadashi, so she's on a waxing moon cycle. Second part of it, Dwadashi, endows Urvashi with wisdom, spiritual refinement, and the ability to harmonize within groups. This is what the quality of this Tithi is. She carries the energy of completion and maturity, often understanding the nuanced emotion and social dynamics. So very good at people connection, essentially putting the two together. This Tithi supports generosity, patience, and higher order thinking. At times, she might struggle with boundaries, taking on more than she should in her desire to comfort others, support others. Core traits: wise, nurturing, socially attuned, charitable, and spiritually graceful. Her Karana is Balava. This is an active Karana. With Balava Karana, Urvashi is versatile. mentally agile, gifted with communication skills. This is a very active Karana. She tends to be curious and emotionally expressive, often gravitating towards writing, performance or storytelling as outlets for her agile mind. Already we can see a writer, isn't it, somewhere here. Her yoga is Harshana, which means this gives the final result. Yoga is the final result of all this, okay? How it plays out in the world. Harshana Yoga gives Urvashi a joyful, uplifting personality. She has a natural lightness, infectious enthusiasm and smiles that brings optimism to those around her. Even in serious settings, she maintains a positive outlook and spontaneous sense of humor. Quote reads, Harshana Yoga people are cheerful, charismatic, optimistic, socially engaging and very buoyant emotionally. However, her ascendant nakshatra is Jyeshtha in Scorpio. Jyeshtha is a very serious nakshatra. Many people in Jyeshtha, like I've covered before in the other Jyeshtha playlists, I've done all these nakshatras, right? You can go through that playlist and find out more. Let's dive in here itself. So Urvashi is intense, wise and fiercely protective, quiet also I would say. She carries an old soul energy, often stepping into leadership and guardian roles. Typically, Jyeshtha people end up becoming in law enforcement as a result. They are quiet. They are in the background but always protecting, whether formally or informally. Her formal psychological insight is sharp. She can manage crises with remarkable strength and strategy. However, her intensity may lead to power struggles, secrecy and internalized pressure. I have seen this with Jyeshtha Nakshatra ascendant charts that I have read for. They have power struggles going on in their life. Whatever is in your ascendant carries to the rest of the chart, isn't it? Quote reads, commanding, private, strategic, emotionally deep and innately authoritative. Career insights. Urvashi's Panchanga and Nakshatra suggest a personality who is emotionally wise, creative and who has qualities of strategic leadership and interpersonal finesse. She is at her best in roles that require subtle power and graceful expression. A very strange yet very good quality, isn't it? At least that's how I see it. Best career fields just based on Panchanga now. Psychological counseling and therapy. Scorpio. They will have a strong insight anyway, isn't it? Her Jyeshtha insight, Venus empathy and Dvadshi maturity make her a natural guide for emotional transformation. Creative writing and media. Balava Harshana. Balava and Harshana bring lightness and fluidity in storytelling. Like I said, there was a writer somewhere there. Making her ideal for journalism, content strategy and screenwriting. Leadership in wellness or beauty industry. She could thrive in brand strategy. This is, they are putting together Venus, Shukla, sorry, what is that? Yeah, Dvadshi Tithi, as well as her Harshana Yoga, I think. That's why he says wellness industries. Aesthetic entrepreneurship, fields that combine Venus, Scorpio depth and public engagement. Here's one I see again dominant. Conflict resolution and human resources. Her ability to perceive emotional undercurrent suits her for negotiation, people management and diplomacy. That could be it. More of creative writing, conflict resolution or therapy. Not so much leadership there. Unless there's something else in the chart. Let's see that ahead. Mystical or esoteric professions. With her strong Scorpio energy, she could do well in astrology, energy healing, spiritual coaching. All these depend upon how the planets are placed. So let's get into her D1 now. Let's have a look at natal chart now. The chart is in front of you and the analysis also right there. First of all, she's a Scorpio ascendant, so everything will have a depth of intuition, a depth of emotional attachment to it. It's a water sign, okay? All water signs have that. And all water signs, like Scorpio, have fire signs as their Artha lords, as you can see. Second house in this case for Scorpio is Sagittarius. Sixth house is ruled by Aries, Lord is Mars. And the 10th house is ruled by Leo, which is the Sun. So let us begin. Second Lord, the value system. What value system she carries? It's Sagittarius Jupiter, which means everything she looks at with the lens of giving rules and guidelines to people. This is why you find Scorpio ascendants constantly dishing out because second house is speech also, telling other people about rules and regulations all the time. Because Sagittarius is more about rules and guidelines, giving out to people. And especially at the home front, they should be like this, they should be kept here, that should be kept there. I'm just putting an aside there. Now, what happened to this lord over here? We are talking of career, placement, 7th house, Taurus, conjunct Mercury and Saturn. How can that be interpreted like? Jupiter, as second lord in 7th house, ties her professional values to partnerships, negotiations. She looks at partnerships and negotiations as a means of livelihood. She values that a lot. And conjunct Saturn and Mercury, she even brings work element also there. Her speech, her intellect also, she brings it there. In Taurus, Jupiter expresses stability, material refinement, looking for gains, material gains, resources, and also practical wisdom. Conjunct Mercury, it sharpens intellect, communication, and negotiation skills, something like marketing people. She values clarity, adaptability, and knowledge exchange in her career. Remember, also take this, whatever is placed in the second house, Mars and Ketu together. Mars and Ketu together in Sagittarius make room for a very deep research-oriented profession. Okay? Logical, Mars, Ketu is more on spiritual and higher ground. So very strong spiritual warrior kind of energy is there in the second house. Overall, Saturn adds discipline, persistence and responsibility. Saturn is a slow planet. So the growth maybe is steadily increasing in terms of her value system. Also, she may change her value system since Ketu is in the second house, conjunct Mars. Sixth lord has gone to the second house. In Sagittarius, conjunct Ketu. In Aries, right? Aries is the sixth house. And there is Sun over there also, which is the 10th lord. So it's kind of a reverse going on here. Second lord has gone to 7th. 6th lord has gone to 2nd and 10th lord has come to 6th. You see the rhythm. Try to see the rhythm in a chart. It always is present in one way or the other. Interpretation: Mars as the 6th lord in 2nd house connects her daily work and service to resources, wealth and speech, because you have connected 2nd and 6th houses. In Sagittarius, Mars is fiercely principled, action driven, seeking truth and purpose in daily routines. Sure. Conjunct Ketu adds detachment and unconventional methods, more mathematical, more conceptual and reformist kind of attitude. Her work may be unusual with transformative approaches in daily service, because 6th house is the house of daily service. This has become her approach now. Very principled approach. 10th lord Sun. As Scorpio rising people all have default 10th lord as Sun. So a lot has to do with their thinking and a lot has to do with their ego for Scorpio. It is affected by whatever goes on in their profession. They tie a strong identity to what they do in the world. Scorpio ascendants as a result of that. Placement in the 6th house in Aries, aspected also by this Ketu. So Sun when aspected by Ketu, what happens? Sun is 10th lord in Aries, its own sign. Aries is not its own sign. Well, 10th lord has gone into thing. In the 6th house creates strong karma with service, discipline and competition. Why does it say karma? Because 6th house is the house of prarabdha karma. Whatever you have to do in this world to pay off your past karma debts. That's the 6th house. This placement gives leadership potential in structured or service-oriented roles such as law, health, governance, organizational management. Aspect of Ketu introduces once again, in Ketu in Sagittarius, reformist. Potentially involving crisis management, spiritual transformation or research-driven service. When you say research, always have a look at the 8th house. It has got Rahu there. Okay, in Ardra, which will be very strong research orientation right there. Whenever you say research, always have a look at 8th house, what is placed there. Overall, her professional identity is fiery, authoritative, service-driven and marked by resilience in overcoming opposition with a reformist kind of edge to it. So let us synthesize this, put these things together. Values: Jupiter, Mercury, Saturn, Taurus in 7th. Ethical, communicative, disciplined, partnership driven. She values fairness, stability and structured negotiation in her career. Work style, which is Mars conjunct Ketu in Sagittarius in 2nd. Energetic, disciplined, unconventional. Daily routines emphasize courage, financial acumen and adaptive reform. Once again, if you want to see career where a person is moving, it's a moving energy. So always have a look at the malefics first. Rahu, Ketu, Mars and Saturn. And where Mercury is placed. Mercury will provide that intellect. Rahu, Ketu and Saturn move. Okay. And Mars. Mars is a moving energy. Person is driven to move in this world. That's Mars. Indicative career fields therefore come down to governance and law. Sagittarius. Everything Sagittarius. Legal profession. Compliance officer. Policy strategist. Service and management, civil services, organizational leadership, once again Sagittarius, HR or administration. Not so much administration, this energy is in quite a lot of movement in our chart. Research and reform, certainly. Systems analysis, data mining sort of. Rahu in the 8th house, data mining. Investigative roles, financial reform and auditing, that could be another field. Education and knowledge, I wouldn't put so much. It could be a chance. Let us see detail later. Teacher, consultant, trainer in communication or governance. Spiritual or esoteric pathways. This is secondary. Astrology, metaphysical counseling, unconventional advisory. It is there because Rahu is still in the 8th house. That streak is certainly there. Let us see D10 and what that reveals. Let us see her D10 chart now, the Dashamsha, where she has now ended up becoming an Aquarius. Now, how we are analyzing this whole series of case studies is we are taking the second Lord, the 6th Lord and the 10th Lord from D1 and where they go into D10, isn't it? Hopefully you have covered all the things. Even if you are not that particular ascendant, please cover all of them because I just share what intuitively comes to me fastest. Astrology has to be learned this way. It can't be learned in too much of a systematic logic way. There has to be intuition factor that comes in. Okay. So D10, she's an Aquarius. First of all, this means professionally she's looking to gain wealth and connections from her profession. That's what Aquarius ascendant in D10 means. Everything related to profession and attitude is shown in D10. Doesn't matter what it's playing out as, what career path is chosen, it will still play out in the characteristics of everything placed in D10. Think about this. So Mercury and Venus together are there in Aquarius, in the ascendant. That means she is invariably going to make money with communications. And she's going to have a lot of wealth. A lot is, of course, subjective. How much depends upon where she is in the society, okay? And what her cultural conditioning is. But there is a chance that she will make good money through life, through her career, not just overnight. In her life, through her profession. This is a good sign. Let us get to the second Lord from D1, which was Jupiter. Where has it gone now? Placement is in Cancer in the 6th house. Well, placement sign-wise, Jupiter is good in Cancer. But it's in the 6th house. Jupiter in Cancer in the 6th house, typically for all Aquarius people, rising. If you have a rising Aquarius, Jupiter in the 6th, it's like a tough situation. Because Jupiter is actually exalted, but is constantly battling enemies. And Jupiter knows only how to provide guidelines. The 6th house in D10 links professional values with service, detail and overcoming challenges. Sort of learning through enemies kind of a situation. It's weird, but it's there, isn't it? Some of us learn through enemies. Jupiter in Cancer is exalted. So therefore there is strong wisdom, ethics and knowledge, which she brings to her daily work. She values teaching fairness, nurturing service roles. Teaching is generally a good daily work for Jupiter in 6th house for Aquarius rising. Why? Aquarius rising only gets number 4 in the 6th house. 6th Lord, D1 from Mars, where is it gone now? Because it was Aries, isn't it, in the D1? It's gone to Capricorn in the 12th house. See? What does this mean? Mars is exalted in Capricorn, sure. 12th house means working abroad, sure. Giving tremendous discipline, strategy and drive. In the 12th house, this energy goes into behind the scenes work. 6th house is a visible work. 12th house is the invisible or behind the scenes work. Mars is also aspected by Jupiter. It's not mentioned here, but you can see that straight away, isn't it? Jupiter is looking at that Mars. And therefore, this Mars will become very principled in its approach. She might do strategy, crisis management, reform, or working in global organizations. This could be one chance. Mars in the 12th in Capricorn suggests a tireless worker. Capricorn is a due diligence kind of a worker, systematic worker, growth through life worker, strong capacity for reformist or institutional service. Also, since Jupiter is looking at it from the 6th, it might mean that she might be doing something along teaching lines behind the scenes. However you want to put that in professional terms. The 10th Lord from D1 Sun, now where the Sun has gone, it has gone to Libra conjunct Rahu in the 9th house. The 9th house in D10 emphasizes higher education, law, ethics and long-term vision. But since it is conjunct Sun and Rahu sitting there, it will have a drive towards following unconventional rules and guidelines which are liberalistic in nature. Libra. Libra is liberalistic. Sun in Libra is debilitated. Well, that's a conventional way of seeing it. Sun in Libra tends to work for others. It's driven to work for others. And 9th house will be directed towards institutions like educational institutions, isn't it? And Jupiter 4th looking at Mars in the 10th. Put all these things together. Okay, whatever I'm speaking, try to connect the dots always. But conjunction with Rahu amplifies charisma, ambition and unconventional career paths. Rahu or Ketu in modern day, think software, something to do with information technology industry. This points to global exposure. Now he's putting the things together. Mars in 10th from Jupiter in 6th aspected there and Sun and Rahu in the 9th. Global exposure, reformist teaching, policy leadership or careers tied to law, philosophy or cultural diplomacy. Even Saturn is in Pisces in 12th. When Saturn is in Pisces, typically there is work abroad. Okay? Although we are not directly dealing with it as the 2nd, 6th or 10th Lord, Saturn still governs the professional path. Have this in mind. So this may indicate for her the placement of the 10th Lord. Strong public image in advisory institutional leadership, though achieved through the unconventional reformist approaches. Synthesis of D10, what value she brings to her career. First of all, Jupiter, the 2nd Lord, values. Rooted in wisdom, ethics and nurturing service. Thrives on knowledge sharing and structured advisory work. It is better, I feel always, to look at it from a generalistic lens when evaluating and put your personal situation, whatever your finances, society, current situation where you are, and then evaluate the kind of professional fields available. Don't directly jump into professional fields. You might not be up for it. You might need a lot of studying for it. You might not have the money for it. All these things, factors play out, okay? The work style, Mars in Capricorn in 12th, gives him hidden, behind the scenes work, hidden work. Disciplined, strategic, reform oriented, Mars has got a dead drive, okay? Strong behind the scenes roles, research, or foreign land or institutions. Also think of this, from this perspective of her chart in D10, Scorpio is in the 10th house. Lord of that is Mars and that's gone to 12th. So there is a strong thing of teaching something abroad. Career-wise. Career identity, Sun Rahu in Libra in the 9th brings career tied to higher knowledge, law, ethics, teaching, but expressed in unconventional reformist ways. Strong pull towards cultural diplomacy. Like I said, Libra is diplomat. Policy analysis or international institutions. Let's put all these things together now. So conclusions for Urvashi now. I have put the natal chart and the conclusion derivatives, so to speak, from that. Okay. Why the natal chart? Because eventually everything has to play out in physical reality. That's always the natal chart. All your divisional chart must comply and tie into the natal chart. If natal chart is saying one thing and all your divisional chart are saying something else, be cautious of your predictions or your analysis. That's all I'm saying. First one, strategic leadership and governance. D1, her son, 10th Lord, in Aries in 6th, authoritative, service-driven leadership. D10, son Rahu in Libra in the 9th, unconventional public leadership, law, ethics and focus. We are putting things together, isn't it? And Panchanga, Jyeshtha Nakshatra, as ascendant, Shukla Dvadshi, gives a wise, protective crisis manager. Therefore, her best fit, one of them, would be governance, law, HR, strategy, institutional reform, conflict resolution type of leadership. Second, education and knowledge leadership. D1, second Lord in Taurus, conjunct Mercury and Saturn. So therefore, teaching, negotiation, intellectual guidance. Putting all these things, aspects together. In D10, Jupiter exalted in Cancer in 6th, nurturing wisdom in the form of structured service, academia or mentorship. Panchanga is Shukravara, that is Friday, Balava Karana, artistic teacher, expressive communicator. This could be it also, because Jupiter is strongly aspecting Mars in the D10, isn't it? We saw that. Academia, curriculum design, training, consulting, public speaking, not so much. Maybe speaking in institutions, Saturn conjunct Rahu in the D10, publishing. Psychology, counseling and healing. D1, Mars, 6th Lord, has now gone to Sagittarius in 2nd conjunct Ketu in the D10, isn't it? In the D1. Reformist, truth-seeking, service, sharp speech. In the D10, Mars goes into Capricorn in the 12th. Crisis work, hidden service, deep therapy and research roles. Panchanga is Jyeshtha Nakshatra in Scorpio, Shukla Dvadshi. Therefore, psychological insight, nurturing wisdom. What professions can she do with this arrangement? Psychological therapy. Psychiatrist, let's put it, psychologist, psychiatrist kind of, trauma counseling, wellness leadership and crisis management. Scorpio ascendants by default may fit very well into psychotherapy, counseling kind of roles. Creative aesthetic professions. In D1, Libra influences Mercury plus Saturn and Jupiter in Taurus. Refined taste, negotiation and beauty. In D10, Sun and Rahu in Libra in 9th, artistic diplomacy, unconventional creativity. Rahu is there. Everything makes it unconventional. With public and global impact. Well, public, yes, because Sun is there. Panchanga, Shukravara, Friday, Harshana Yoga. Combined, they give aesthetic, joyful, socially magnetic person. Therefore, professions she is well suited for make brand strategy, luxury wellness, fashion and beauty industries, creative writing and media roles. Another career path she could be choosing is research, spiritual and esoteric fields. We don't even have this as a profession, isn't it? Either you become a priest or a guru and run away somewhere in the hills. We need to redefine what we consider in this modern world as fields of work. That's coming in a big way, I feel, with all this AI taking jobs of everyone. Just get ready for the profound shift in what we choose as careers. One of the reasons I am being called to make this stuff. D1, Mars and Ketu in Sagittarius in second house with Scorpio ascendant, that's the D1. Intensity, hidden knowledge, reform. D10, Mars in Capricorn 12th, behind the scenes work, spiritual work and foreign institutions, foreign lands, isolation as well, working in isolation. Mars doesn't do well in 12th because Mars loves the public image. Aries, isn't it? Panchanga, Jyeshtha plus Venus, Friday, Dwara. Mystical healer, protector, feminine empowerment guide. Therefore, field would be astrology, which I'm doing over here. This could be a mainstream profession if it is handled this way. At least that's the way I feel. if we just keep talking astrology in terms of mythology, we are not going very sane, or we are not using it properly. It's just an attitude change. Metaphysics, similar thing. Sacred arts, sacred geometry, because there is a lot of Rahu and Ketu energy there. So it can be sacred geometry, is mathematical, energy healing and spiritual coaching. Those could be also her professions. In essence now, Urvashi blends Scorpio death, Jyeshtha, with Venus grace, Friday born, exalted Mars and Jupiter in D10, yes, into a career path that is both strategic and nurturing, as well as a reformist and artistic type. Now, if you combine all of this, it makes for some very unconventional careers. So if I was advising her, I would say, look, you might not make tons of money, or you might not be Elon Musk in your life. At least put your soul path in a proper direction where you feel nurtured, where you feel you can belong and contribute something meaningful in this world. You see, that's place and position I hold at least. She thrives in the intersection of psychology, education, aesthetics and governance, where subtle power and refined expression guide her to transform others and systems. If we start taking this kind of an approach in analyzing how we can guide our young people in their careers, or if you are an experienced professional wishing to change your career path, this would be a good roadmap. I'm not saying this should be 100% accurate, hardly. You know your situation, you know your economic, social situation better than anyone, better than any astrologer on earth, isn't it? So I will see you in the next. We shall do a Sagittarius ascendant, the next one. Take care, be safe.